visibility can be fantastic. I've had 100-foot visibility underwater, and that's horizontal distance, not just looking vertically. And it's amazing how much, even on years when there's lots of snow, that the light penetrates right through the snow, right through the ice, and it's very bright down under the ice. And so there is a lot of light penetration through there.
Dan Carlson lives in Bemidji, Minnesota. Dan gets away from it all by dropping through a hole on the ice.
In the winter, I love diving. Diving under the ice, swimming around. I'm really comfortable under the water. All the stuff in the daily life and the national and international news and all that stuff doesn't exist underwater. You're just focused on the dive and what you're going to find or see. I was stationed in Hawaii and started scuba diving there. After I moved back to Minnesota, got with some divers in this area, and I had heard about ice diving. I was probably around 25 when I went on my first ice dive, and that was up around Ely, Minnesota. Divers that are ice diving are really good divers, but they're also the ones doing it a lot. They're diving a lot, and so maybe it is kind of, we're out of the water for too long and we need to go cut a hole in the ice to get in.
Right. Well, I was going to say, it does seem dangerous.
There's a lot of preparation with ice diving. It seems like when we go out there and we're looking forward and looking forward to doing the ice dive, and then there's so much work involved with cutting the hole and getting all the rope set up. And there's a lot of safety procedures that we put into place where we have backup divers ready to go. And we use ropes, and we'll either use straight communications where we can talk to the surface, or else we have to talk to the surface through rope signals.
Or you tug on it?
Yeah. So the tender will give one pull on the rope, and it'll be a sharp indication of a pull on the rope indicating that, hey, are you doing okay down there? And then you give one pull back signaling, yes, that I'm okay. And you only get so far from the hole, so you get a distance out, and the tender will signal two pulls telling you you need to change directions. And you give one pull back acknowledging and change directions. Three pulls from the tender indicates, hey, your dive time is done. And typically our dive times are 20 minutes, so we're not getting too cold underwater. And I invite people to come out just to see. And that's what we had quite a few people this past weekend, just watching the process that we go through from cutting the hole and planning where we're going to be at, getting suited up, and the communications with the divers and the tenders, and logging all the information. We need to know every diver's starting air pressure. We need to know the time that they start. We need to know who their tender is. And the diver and tender really work together as a team. And we seem to always find things.
What are some of the things that you've come across down there?
We did a dive on the north end of Bemidji. We basically do a 100-foot radius circle. So from the hole, we can go out 100 feet. And during the first day, we pull up two anchors, an ice chisel, and a fishing rod, along with some garbage. So we're down there, and we'll usually pick up bottles and cans and things like that as we come across, so pick up and kind of clean up the bottom as well. And a lot of divers are that way, that they'll be cleaning up food wrappers and bait canisters and things like that that we run across. We'll just try to keep the bottom of the lakes clean and clean up as we go. And looking at that dive where we found all that stuff, we're only in a 100-foot radius circle in Lake Bemidji, and we found all this stuff. And I'm looking around going, how big is Lake Bemidji? And I think I estimated over like 1/15,000th of the lake is the area we covered, and we found that much stuff. So that's part of the fun of it, is going down and finding things. So underwater, we'll have a compass with, so I can take a look at the rope going back to the hole, estimate how far away I am, and we can note it now with GPS, and I can get a compass heading of where my rope is going and going, okay, I'm about 50 feet away from the hole, and I'm to the southeast of the hole. And so there's this object here, like we found, well, it was probably 10, 12 years ago, we found a dumpster bottom of the south end of Lake Bemidji. And I was like, I think they're going to want this out of here, but I'm not pulling it up through the ice. And that. And then for ice diving, it's a lot of fun playing around at that interface of the ice and water. where they meet and going up there and playing around with your air bubbles that are now trapped at the bottom of the ice. When the air bubbles go there and they go against the ice, it actually looks like mercury. Now, back when I was in elementary school, we could actually play with mercury, push it around on a table. And so it's kind of what it's like. They have these big pools of mercury that are flowing around as your air bubbles spread out at the bottom of the ice. And the ice is extremely smooth. At the bottom, it's extremely smooth. And so there's no getting any grip or anything like that. You can move the air bubbles around. And so it's just fun playing around with the air bubbles as well.
I'm talking with scuba diver and ice diver Dan Carlson.
There's a lot of things in slow motion. Crayfish, for example, in the winter, they move very, very slowly versus the summer. There's not a lot of movement. You see a lot of fish. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time before divers are ready for this, but and you need to be in a dry suit. I tried it once in a wetsuit. It didn't work at all. But in a dry suit where you have the air inside the suit, if you flip upside down, all the air flows to your feet. And so if you're up there at the ice, flip upside down, and you can take in a dry suit, you can take air from your tank and put into the dry suit. To give yourself more insulation underwater or control your buoyancy underwater with the dry suit. And flip upside down, shoot some more air into your dry suit, and it runs up to your feet, and it'll plant your feet against the bottom of the ice.
So now you're inverted. You're upside down.
Upside
down.
Your
feet are on the underside of the ice.
Yes. We had one diver do this weekend. And was upside down and just basically just standing there and was just amazed at how you just stand there upside down. And
so you mentioned something, what did you call it? Getting a ride back to the hole?
Oh, yes. Inverted under ice skiing.
Tell me about that.
So usually towards the end of the dive, and we will have planned this before the dive. So the tenders know what's going on. We'll have somebody supervising the dive who's keeping track of all the information on the dive, of the dive time and all that stuff. Everybody knows what's going on. And so the divers at the end of the dive will get away from the hole a ways. We'll go out 80 to 100 feet away from the hole. And then we'll flip upside down and put a bunch of air in their dry suit to really plant their feet on the bottom of the ice. And then we'll lean back a little bit or go into a little bit of a tuck, and we'll give three pulls to the tender. Now, three pulls from the diver to the tender are saying, I want out of here. Something's going wrong, or I need a tow back to the hole. And I don't want to be in here anymore. But like I said, we've said this is what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to ski back in at the end. And they know, okay. So we get to the 18-minute mark and we start getting set up then. And then once the diver gives the three pulls, the tender will give one pull back indicating okay. And that's where you kind of get ready and you start getting pulled across the bottom of the ice upside down, and you're skiing along the bottom of the ice, which is really smooth, going back to the hole. Now, you're going fairly slow. The tender's pulling you hand over hand, just pulling you along. But water, if you try running in water, you go very slow because of the density of the water. It's so much thicker. And so when the tender starts pulling you, it feels like you're going so fast going through the water. But it's just a really odd feeling. And I've heard a lot of people, when we have communications systems hooked up and we can hear the divers talking and that, and they are just giggling the entire way back.
So I'm starting to feel like there's a whole underground world of ice divers out there.
Yes.
That's Dan Carlson. His winter hobby is scuba diving below frozen lakes. If that is something that interests you, or if it's something you just want to watch, you can find him at the Dive Depot, and that's in Bemidji. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.